to Friday. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering today's show. Tom on the other side of the glass. And Tom and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, April 17th, 2015. Hope you had a very good week. Hope you got your taxes done. Didn't have to ask for an extension and are moving ahead here into a beautiful weekend in Southern Arizona. We are live weekdays from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners are tucsonsentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, and tucsonlifestyle.com. Our Friday Focus interview today will be with Tucson's Police Chief, Roberto Villasenor. Chief is a member of the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. Chief Villasenor oversees a force of nearly 1,300 members, as making it the 36th largest police agency in the United States. The chief joined the department in 1980 and rose through the ranks, becoming the chief in May of 2009. And Chief Villasenor got tied up in traffic, so he could put the red light on, but no, he's not going to do that in the police cruiser. But anyway, he got caught in traffic. He'll be with us momentarily. Mari Herreras is here from the Tucson Weekly. Mari is the editor of the Weekly, and Dylan Smith is also with us. Dylan, how are you? Dylan is from...
I may or may not have broken a couple of traffic laws to get here in a timely manner today, so what's up with the chief?
Yeah, what's the deal? Dylan is the editor and publisher and founder of TucsonSentinel.com, which is Tucson's online news service. Dylan and his team do a great job. This video of what happened in Marana, Dylan and Mari's gone all over the world.
One of the interesting things about this story is the fact that it's, you know, not exactly new this week, and all of a sudden it's taking off and being reported as if it were a revelation.
Happened in February.
The decision by the county attorney to not bring any charges was made, you know, several weeks ago. So why this is a huge wave of concern right now is just obviously pegged to the release of that video, and certainly that's something that gets your attention, but there's, you know, so often in the news business, there's just a little bit of prurient interest involved.
Well, I don't think it's that odd. I think it's, yes, it happened in February, but I think it's part of an ongoing people's concerns regarding police force and how actions are carried out, and I think that's what's made it go around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me of the Dirty Harry movies. I really was a huge fan.
And Dirty
fan.
Harry got called out for that, too.
I was a huge fan of the Harry Callahan in the Dirty Harry movies and the whole series, you know, Make My Day and the whole thing with Clint Eastwood. I mean, I could see Dirty Harry doing something like that. Anyway.
Well, in one of them, I can't remember which one, he did, you know, drive his car into the middle of a scene and then got
like
told that he was a disgrace to the force, Callahan.
All right.
What year were those movies? Those were like
those 70s.
72 Impala.
Yeah, I mean,
I love the series.
You know, the chief is with us, Chief Villasenor. How are you?
I'm here, and I'm sorry that I'm a couple minutes late, but I made it.
You made it. That's the most important thing, Chief. Dylan Smith is with me, and Mari Herreras also. And, of course, we're talking about what happened in Marana. And as the Arizona Republic on the front page of today's paper says, for police, it's a new normal. I guess anything an officer does in public will likely wind up on a cell phone video, which in turn may wind up in the national spotlight. What are some of your thoughts, Chief, on what happened with that Marana incident?
Well, I think you're exactly right. It is a new normal, and we're trying to remind officers and tell officers if we ourselves are not recording, they should just consider that someone is recording them, because it's happening every day, and you have 18,000 police departments across this country, millions of cell phones out there. It's very unlikely that you're not recorded on any type of police action. So I know that the incident in Marana has caused nationwide controversy, and I think it's a good discussion, but I think people also really need to remember what the officers were facing up there. I mean, they were in a really, from a hindsight perspective, a no-win situation. If they would have let that individual go and enter either the Coca-Cola or the Sergeant Controls building where hundreds of people were working with a high-powered rifle with boxes of ammunition, then they would be criticized for not taking action. But taking the action that they did, they're criticized for why they did it. I mean, they really are on a no-win, because you can't approach a man with a gun like that who had already fired it and just calmly go up to them. That's just not the way we would teach that, and it's not something you can get close enough to use a taser on. So it was a difficult situation, and I understand the controversy, because any type of use of force is hard to watch, but one of that particular severity, I mean, first time I saw it, I said, oh my gosh. And then I immediately called Chief Rosema, and I said, wow, you are going to be talking about this one a lot.
A lot. Here's Mari Herreras.
When we talk about cameras and people, you know, recording more often than usual, what else do you tell your folks? Do you talk to them about, I mean, are people allowed to videotape if they were to see you guys doing something? Would they be told to stop, or would they be allowed to continue?
Well, absolutely they're allowed. If they're in a place where they have a right to be, there's nothing that we can do that prevents them from videotaping our actions. We work in a very transparent world. We're open government. The only time that we can tell someone they can't record us is if their actions are interfering with our investigation or our enforcement actions. And, you know, if they're standing across the street filming, it's going to be real hard to say that's interfering. But now if they're encouraging someone to resist, don't do it because they want better footage, you know, then of course that would be something that we would stop and tell them that they no longer have that right because they're interfering with our investigation or our actions. But for the most part, we tell them this is the new norm, just as Bill said, this is the new norm, and this is kind of what you have to expect.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
Yes.
Is that a good thing, a bad thing, something that's just neutral that you're trying to deal with? You know, how do you see the prevalence of people not just paying more attention to what you and your officers do, but actually, you know, keeping an independent record of it?
I don't know. You know, it's going to be dependent if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that when there's cameras there, there is always better behavior on both sides of the camera. And so I think that that's something that we are going to be dealing with in our profession. It's one of the things that when I was on the task force that I just recently, or I'm still involved with, we had a lot of conversation about that, in that this is the world we live in now. Technology has changed policing in a variety of fashions, one of them being that we are much more visible, we are much more accountable, and we need to be much more transparent on what we do and cognizant of that. So I don't think it's good or bad. I think it's just what it is.
Let's go to the live line. John would like to join in the conversation. John, you're with the chief of the Tucson Police Department. Go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I have a question. I saw this covered on the Kelly Show last night on Fox News. And one of the things they did was they showed several clips of video, and one of them was a shot of this guy standing in front of the ammunition case next to the employee with the rifle in his hand.
Hmm.
And somehow or another, that employee handed him ammunition.
Wow.
That to me was absolutely brain dead irresponsible.
Okay, John, thank you. Here's the chief.
Thank you.
I saw that same video, and you know, the store policies are there, but you think about oftentimes people will go to a sporting goods store and they'll buy a weapon, and they'll buy the ammunition for that weapon right there. I'm not aware, I'm not, you know, cognizant if that's anything that would be against the law, and it may be because I know there are some strict rules regarding on the sale of ammunition, but I think that that's probably very common. When people buy a new weapon, they also buy the ammunition that goes with that weapon. I think in this circumstance, with what you saw, I mean, Marana had received a call in reference to that individual because they saw that there was, you know, some unique circumstances. We'd already had several incidents that occurred during the day, starting in Tucson and heading up towards Marana, where he'd been involved in quite a few criminal activities. So there's obviously something wrong there.
All right, it's 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to move the chief over into the other studio. Dylan, the chief's going to take your seat for a few minutes.
I'll sneak out.
Okay, you will sneak out, and then you will be back with us at 12:30 or so for our Friday roundtable. We're going to continue with Chief Villasenor, 790-2040, 790-2040 for your questions and comments. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off features commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, and we'll talk with Tucson novelist Elizabeth Evans about her new book, Buckmaster, Noon to One, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're live streaming anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com.
Show.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we kind of loosen things up a little bit, Chief Iasonor. We have a little bump music from the 60s, the kind of music I remember, and I think you remember, certainly.
Obviously, I just recognize it.
The mamas and papas. Chief Iasonor is with us, head of the Tucson Police Department. Mari Herreras is with me, editor of the Tucson Weekly. Dylan Smith is going to take a brief break. He'll be back with us at 12:30. I mentioned in the intro that you've been on a member of this president's task force on the 21st century policing, and I was asking you during the break whether, in light of everything we're seeing with these very highly visible televised incidents that go viral and go all over the world, is it going to change policing at all?
I think policing is constantly changing, and we have to adapt to the different times, the technologies that are available, the expectations of the public. My concern is there's been so much criticism, and what has happened, the revolution of cell phones and cell phone video and the 24/7 news cycle that no longer is dependent on recognized professional news agencies has such an impact, and so many people want to criticize without full knowledge of the event. And my fear is that officers are going to hesitate to act, and then people are going to get hurt or killed because an officer is worried about what's the reaction going to be if I do what I feel I need to do here. So this is an evolving topic that I think is going to require a lot of work, a lot of discussion, and a lot of transparency to get through.
Here's Mari Herreras.
You know, this year we saw, about a month ago, mid-March, the change in policy with TPD and undocumented folks who are stopped. Mm-hmm. And I know it's something you have always struggled with from your personal beliefs, but then also the law. And mm-hmm. was there a sense of relief for you once you guys were revising the immigration policy?
Well, it's not a sense of relief. And actually, I don't know if that whole issue is over now, because when we made our revisions, they were based upon the priority enforcement policy of Department of Homeland Security, which in turn was based upon the executive order of the president. Well, now you have the injunction on the executive order that was not lifted by the federal courts, even though there was a suit to try and do that. So that injunction is still in place. Now, how that's going to affect the enforcement policies still remains to be seen. So I don't think this whole topic is done yet. Mm,
that's a good point.
Did you have a follow-up?
Well, I was wondering, you know, the other thing that happened in late March was the city attorney was going to bring forth a policy to allow TPD to use certain types of force in 100-plus crowds, you know, I think in reaction to what happened last year with the game and the non-riot, as I call it. And that didn't go forward, although a lot of folks were pretty upset by the fact that it was considered. What is your take on that?
And I think that's probably a classic example of not seeing the forest for the trees. And that's not necessarily the city attorney's fault. We had talked about putting together legislation or ordinances that would help us in those situations. And all we were ever thinking about were sports celebrations. And so when that was put forward, and then the immediate backlash that came forward, and I received several calls from people within the community that I have good rapport with, say, "What are you doing? Why are you curtailing free speech?" I said, "What are you talking about?" And then we started reading the ordinance a little bit closer together. We said, "Oh my gosh, yeah, I completely understand where the fear is coming from." And I talked with the city attorney, and we said, "That's not our intent." And so we asked that be pulled off of council. I'm not saying that it couldn't ever appear again in a much different format to very specifically identify that this is only in those circumstances where we may have some type of sports celebration or some type of entertainment issue where we need to move in and take action and take over, that gives us some leeway. And some people argue, well, you already have that, but that's not necessarily true. There's some different things and little nuances that we were looking for. But the good thing was we changed our tactics completely on how we responded after the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and it was very successful. We didn't have a single incident.
Yeah. I saw the parking changes, and I saw a lot of Pima County folks too, Sheriff's Department folks, and coming into the bars and things
Well, we always had Pima County and Department of Public Safety. We divided the three areas that we felt there could be issues, downtown, Fourth Avenue, and Main Gate. Mm. The Main Gate was the area we felt was the greatest probability, and we took that. And yes, we didn't go out there with helmets and face shields. We went out with traffic vests, regular uniforms. We purchased these little rubber bracelets that said Tucson Police Department, Bear Down, and we were handing them out to kids. And I tell you, that proved to be one of the best, you know, tactics. After the Elite Eight game, everyone was upset, and they were starting to mill around the streets, and you could see some places where it was getting a little tense. We walked over there, started handing out bracelets, and it calmed things down. We were able to talk with people, share with them, commiserate the loss, how upset we were. But everyone realized there was no need to get all round up about it.
Chief Villasenor is with us from the Tucson Police Department. We had a caller who could not stick around, but the question was, and it's a good one, because in light of an initiative to legalize recreational pot, that's going to be filed in Arizona today. They're trying to get that on the 2016 ballot, which would, in effect, I don't really see what it is. It's going to be a very up to 1 ounce of marijuana, and you could grow up to 6 plants in your homes. So the caller wondered your thoughts about medicinal marijuana versus recreational pot.
Well, to be honest with you, I find most of the time there's very little difference. I know I'll upset people there by saying that. But I think that the term medicinal marijuana has been used as a way to get a foot in the door for people who want to have some coverage for recreational use of marijuana. I am sure that there are probably some people with severe illnesses that the THC and the marijuana can be helpful.
Lessens their
pain.
Yeah.
But there's other methods to get the THC that are already out there that don't require the marijuana. And so I think there just needs to be a lot more research and a lot more honesty about it. But in the long term, it's going to be the voters' will. And a lot of the things that we deal with, you know, it's the voters decide. And if the voters pass the law that that's what it's going to be, then that's the way we enforce and that's the way we respond.
Let's go to Charles. Is with us, Charles Heller, I believe, our Sunday host. Charles, go ahead. How are you?
Good. Happy. Thank you for being willing to come on and take questions, Chief Villasenor.
Absolutely.
law enforcement is instructed, and I'm a student of it for what I do, is instructed to go forwards, that they have to uphold their oath. They have to go forwards, and if somebody's doing something wrong, stop it, frequently by arrest. And as a result, it leads to the lawful escalation of force if it's necessary. What about the idea of a change in law enforcement, that instead of going forward, that they reassess and stop, and instead of escalating in order to get the activity, whatever it's bad, stopped, that they rely more on numbers than on the force used by the individual officer, unless, of course, the officer's life is in immediate danger. But in other words, what about stopping the requirement of the officer to go forward and allow him, as part of his job, to make the decision to stop and not proceed with the arrest if it might lead to an enlarged use of force?
I think that let's go back to one of the previous questions on this task force. Is it going to change policy and tactics? That was a large part of our discussion, in that policing may have to accept and incorporate the idea of tactical retreat, where exactly the situation that you're talking about, in that the wisest move and the move that causes the least harm may be one that we slow, we de-escalate, we pull back, as long as we can provide for the safety of everyone involved. You're right, there's going to be some times when we can't. But here in Tucson, we've piloted, and I have to give credit where credit is due, Pima County Sheriff started it, something with mental health, which is becoming, if you, and I know you're aware of this, Mr. Heller.
The
mental health issue across the country is becoming one of the biggest issues that police have to deal with. And the traditional way that we do it, in my opinion, is all wrong.
Huh. I might suggest that I understand the concept of situational dominance. You might explain that to the audience, but I completely get that if you can dominate a circumstance with a huge threat of force, you're less likely to have to use force. I get that, and I think a lot of times people don't get that. Like, for instance, the Marana incident where the officer used the car to hit the suspect. Well, I mean, the doctrine probably was to stand off at 50 yards, pull your AR, tell him to drop it, and if he doesn't, shoot him. Well, that stopped him from being shot.
So exactly.
It was the lesser amount of force. I get that, but I'm not sure that the public does. And I'm also certainly not a fan of what happened in South Carolina either.
No.
I'll take my answer on the air. I don't want to monopolize Bill's
show. Thank you, Charles. Go ahead, Chief.
I agree with you. I mean, that is something that was also that we need to talk about as an educational campaign to talk a little bit about the philosophies and the practices. But I do think we have to review our philosophies and practices, because you were right on your first part of the question, too. The mantra has always been, don't back down, press to address the threat. Well, sometimes the tactic that will work when you're dealing with someone of sound mind and logical decision-making. But if you're dealing with someone whose mental capacity may be infringed and they're not there, they're not going to understand the concept of dominant force and how that's going to control them. They don't react the normal way. And so we try and provide training to our officers so they recognize that and they know that, hey, this isn't happening the way it normally should. There may be something else at work here. Let's try a different tactic.
Okay, I'm a little bit over, but I did want to ask about the whole situation with the pod people. Was that frustrating for you and the officers? Extremely frustrating, right? I mean,
yes.
People were very upset about
it.
But you had to wait for the courts to...
Correct. And that is our job at times, is that we're working through the courts and the interpretation from legal advice from the courts as to what happened. And so we had been keeping a good control over it. We always try and provide social service in there. But for some interpretation, misinterpretation, however you want to be, for a while there, the city's hands were tied. And then once we clarified that, we were able to go in, offer the necessary services, clean up the area, make sure that we were addressing all the concerns there, and it's a little bit back to normal now.
And it disbanded peacefully.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And I think that one of the benefits there was the fact that we went in, and we always had been going in there with social services to try and provide them assistance. Some don't want it. But then we just tell them, okay, but then you can't just stay here in a pod. That's no longer allowed.
All right, Chief Villasenor, thank you very much for spending part of your lunch hour with us. And I hope you have a great weekend, Chief. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, 12:32 on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith will resume his position here in studio as we continue. We'll have our Friday roundtable for you right after this.
Monday. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
It's spring cleaning time once again. This year, you can offer a fresh start to someone in your community and a fresh start for your stuff. Goodwill is accepting donations of clothes, electronics, and household items. The revenues from your gently used items will fund job training and community-based services to people here in Southern Arizona. So while you get yourself and your home off to a fresh start this spring, you'll be helping someone else nearby do the same. More information is available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
You gotta go. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview. That is now behind us, and we have our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith is rejoining us. Dylan is the editor, publisher, and actually the founder of TucsonSentinel.com. If you haven't discovered TucsonSentinel.com, I strongly suggest you check it out. We're always looking for more news sources in this town, and Dylan has done a nice job with his online service, which is celebrating, let's see, I'm in my 5th year with the show. You've got to be in your 4th year?
5.
Oh,
we're,
5.
Well,
you were ahead of me.
We've moved along into our 6th at this point.
Oh, okay. So you are
ahead. We just had the 5th birthday.
Oh, that's right. Okay. And Mari Herreras is here. Mari has been the editor of the weekly now for 6 months?
Yeah, something like that. Just counting months.
And, yeah. Anyway, I'm really glad this was very serendipitous, Dylan and Mari, that we had the chief scheduled today because of all that's been going on with not only, well, the incident in Marana, that has gone, folks worldwide have seen that. And Dylan, everybody's got an opinion on that one.
It's, you know, certainly very, very dramatic. In the grand scheme of things, that incident is nowhere near as severe as, you know, many other things that we've seen. It, you know, it being captured on video from several different angles the way it was, and, you know, it makes a big social media splash, certainly. But there have been, much, much more serious incidents that have gone on. And I think really what we're seeing with the the prevalence of people pulling out their cell phones to start shooting video when they see the police doing something is just more, I don't know if insight is quite the right word, but we're seeing more of what cops face every day and what would, you know, some citizens face every day when they're dealing with police who may be a bit over the top. I don't think any of this is anything new. We are just seeing more of it.
It's interesting.
Because we're getting a better look at it.
Mari, you know, judging by if you see that when you take a look at the video, when the vehicle, the police cruiser, hits that guy, you would think that guy would be history, but I guess he only spent a couple of days.
Just a couple of serious but not life-threatening injuries.
He's like out. And, yeah. I guess there's talk of a lawsuit or whatever, but the chief in Marana has said that there'll be no disciplinary action taken against the officer.
I doubt a lawsuit will go for. I mean, it can be filed, of course, but I don't think it'll go anywhere.
That's, you know, really the result of the past 50 or 60 years of safety regulations on vehicles. The fact that you can, you know, in this case, purposefully, but, you know, generally, hopefully accidentally hit someone and they are not, you know, impaled on a hood ornament or have their, you know, legs completely shattered by a bumper. You know, the things that make us safer in cars also make pedestrians a little bit safer, too.
I want to kudos to, was it Blake Morlock?
Yeah, our columnist Blake Morlock.
Yeah.
He was telling you what the devil won't do.
Yeah, that was he put a really nice piece together about the three Republicans who have filed paperwork to run against Democratic incumbents on the Tucson City Council, and no, it does not look like at this point that there will be a challenger.
The clock's ticking.
On a challenger to Mayor Rothschild in the general. I keep hearing there is another candidate in the primary, a gentleman who calls himself an actor. I don't know anything about this particular individual.
He's been in a pretty good run of B and probably C movies. It's a Democratic challenger to the mayor.
Well, I think, as Blake points out, I think that for the first time in a long time, I think the Republicans have a real shot at taking perhaps as many as two, maybe three, who knows, two council seats.
Well, I don't see much chance of all, you know, really looking at things of the West Side Ward 1 seat going Republican.
No.
Even though we do vote citywide and you know, the last Republican to be elected to the council is somebody who, you know, won because of citywide voting and not ward voting. But I still, it would be it's a very steep cliff for the Republicans to take on Raheena Romero on the West Side. The East Side, those might be closer races. Certainly we are seeing, you know, a much higher caliber of candidate than many who have been fielded by the Republicans in the past. But just given the citywide Democratic edge, it's going to be a tough road no matter how great of a Republican candidate you are.
Yeah, I think, first of all, kudos to the local Republican Party for finally getting some people together. You
Bill
know,
Beard.
They've had one or two quality candidates in the past, but they actually have a slate of people who, at least on paper, appear to be legit this time around.
And Bill Beard, the new chairman, kudos to him in the Republican Party, because Bill worked really hard, vetted a lot of people, and talked to a lot of people, and came up with, I think, three solid candidates.
That's right. And I think the reason why I think it's good to congratulate them is because we just have not seen that happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad. I want the Democratic Party to be challenged in this city. And I think that if we can get top candidates like that to do that, kudos for them. In terms of wins, I don't see the West Side. But I know that the Dems are bristly right now. They're on edge, you know.
there aren't too many happy Democrats this past week because of this filing.
What do you think of the memorial, Mari? For it's the commemorative memorial to the horrible January 8th shootings. Four designs have emerged. Did you particularly like any of them?
No,
honestly.
No. I mean, it's hard to be honest, to tell you the truth, because, you know, it seemed to be a lot of care that was given to these plans. It wasn't, I didn't feel like they were slapshot together or something, but none of them had huge appeal to me. And I was a bit disappointed in that, I guess, you know, but I did like what Dylan said earlier before we went back on, that the amphitheater style, I like the idea of something being of use, you know, that we can use. But I also think, you know, we need to take that park into consideration.
Yeah. maybe a whole redo in the thinking of the park. And I know our friend Tim Steller, the columnist with the Star, wrote about this, that he felt that they were maybe a little, would overwhelm the space, Dylan.
You know, that is such a great location where that park is, really, the two parks that are shoved together in between all of the government buildings down there. But it's not really put together in a way that's very functional to hold events in and things like that. And, one of the proposals for the memorial did include sort of a stage component that really wasn't set up to be, logistically very useful. It would be, it's sort of another one of those stages plunked down in the middle of a park, down in Armory Park, where it's just, that's not a great stage. That's not really where you want to hold an event. If we could have something that was actually designed to, with some production considerations in mind, that
it
would
be incorporated into the whole Tucson Meet Yourself. And
exactly. Yeah. Something in that vein. But if
is,
we're looking
that space
at...
space is very important to the community in the way we do use it. And I think those things do have to be taken into consideration.
And there are other memorials down there. And is it appropriate to have the January 8th memorial in and of itself be the most dominant feature in that park when we have memorials to
Korea, the Battle of the Bulge,
exactly,
World War II. Matthew has been waiting patiently. Matthew, how are you today?
Very good. I'm glad the week's ending. I hope everybody's allergies are getting better. Mine are up and down.
Yep, they have been.
With the wind.
Yep.
I was going to make a political comment. You know, I agree with everything that both of you are saying with regards to the city council candidate quality that Bill Barrett has put together. But I just make this one comment that the candidates are going to run against a difficult Republican name brand. I have never felt more upset at a Republican governor than I do right now, and I don't know how these candidates are going to get away from the Republican name brand with the diminished funds that the Southern Arizona. The argument's going to be that they can speak to Republicans better because they're Republicans, but given what we saw with Bill Ackley's success in the legislature as a Republican, I think that they are going to run against a tide of anti-Republicanism, and there's nobody to blame except Governor Ducey. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well, first off, they have to get on the ballots, and the local Republican Party has not been great about actually getting its candidates
on
the ballot.
But they do not need many signatures.
Not very many. 100 here, a couple hundred there. The mayoral candidate, if there is one, needs to get out and gather sigs pretty much citywide, a greater number. But, they've got a month now, a little over a month, to clear that. And then at this point, none of these candidates are really talking about why they're running and what they're running on. And to any sort of incumbent, no matter what their party, is hard to challenge. That you're talking about somebody who is already elected, who people already, sort of gave their stamp of approval to. So they're going to have to actually get out and campaign and make a case.
It's a test. I mean, for all candidates, please don't pay people to gather signatures for you, because that to me means that you shouldn't be running for office to begin with. And, hopefully if you get your signatures, that means people took you seriously enough to take the time to write on your form and Godspeed. But there's a whole litany of reasons why people shouldn't run as you see them go through their campaigns. Can they raise money? Can they work with other Republicans? Fist fights.
There's
in the
a
middle
reason
of meetings.
Why at every level, whether it's for the city council or school board, which is a volunteer position, all the way up to president, campaigning is supposed to be difficult. Mm-hmm. That's part of how you prove that you are able to run things and able to govern and be a leader is how you campaign. And if you can't pull that off, you probably don't belong in office.
Tom, we have about 2 minutes left. We're going to get out at 51. You've got 56 there on the screen. We're going to get out at a couple of more minutes of the roundtable, and then we're going to take Dan Gibson. We'll be calling for our weekend watch. In the remaining couple of minutes that we have with us, I wanted to talk a little bit about Ron Barber has decided he's not going to run. Not too big a surprise.
you know, that he tried to build up some suspense around that. And, you know, given that he has not been out, you know, really laying the groundwork for a new race and, you know, trying to raise money. If you're going to run, you got to raise money constantly, as we've seen with Martha McSally, you know, just in her first 90 days in office. So, you know, that wasn't, you know, an earthquake of a surprise that he's not going to throw his hat in again.
And the wild card, Mari, will be the U.S. Supreme Court. These lines could be completely drawn for our congressional
districts. Yeah, we're waiting for a decision any day, right?
I've heard Raul Grijalva and McSally may be going against each other. They could be put in the same district. My goodness. And a new district would be carved out for David Gowan down in Sierra Vista.
Well,
at
the moment, Gowan's not rumors. All that popular with other Republicans.
No,
so.
No, he's not. That's true.
About his expansion plans for the House up in Phoenix.
You know, building a gym for, you know, and that's you know, raise some hackles within his own party.
So are we what are you hearing about a bond election, Dylan? Do you think we're going – that the supervisors – I think they're going to decide on Tuesday.
It's, you know, if you would have asked me, you know, a month or two ago, I would have, you know, been a little bit more up in the air, flip of the coin. It seems like they're probably going to go for it. There's a, you know, they've winnowed down the package that they're recommending. Things are split up in a way that, you know, voters could approve certain things and not vote for other things.
What do you think of the road bond, though, and the fact that the property value is going to be what will determine how the work gets done. I find that a little troubling myself.
Real quickly, Dylan.
You know, rather than just solely basing it on the roads that need to be fixed or need to be built, that is a curious way to break things down, but I guess you need some metric to choose where the money goes.
All right, that's going to do it for our Friday Roundtable. Tom, are you ready to take us out with more Mamas and Papas music on this Friday?
I can't believe we just saved $75,000 on our new dream home site. We discovered Rancho Soldados, the new custom home gated community with spectacular home sites located on Old Soldiers Trail. They are offering only 12 $75,000 discount lots, and we got one. Only six more are left. You have to see the custom homes already completed in Rancho Soldados to envision what's possible for your dream home.
On Tanque Verde, East Old Soldiers Trail, 207-4188, represented by Long Realty.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The ocean. Tucsonans see it as a summer escape, but our oceans are more than that. How do overfishing and coastal pollution ripple into our lives? What are the impacts of ocean acidification? At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we're learning how oceans and the desert are linked. Explore our desert sea this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2 and find us online at biosphere2.org.
I love to hear that music because that means officially we are into the weekend, weekend watch here on the Buckmaster Show, presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there is so much going on over there. The big tour of the Gila Bicycle Race, April 29th through May 3rd, and of course coming up Memorial Day weekend, it is the Silver City Blues and Bike, as in motorcycles, festival. There's going to be a lot of great bikes over there in Silver City. And Taj Mahal headlining the 20th year celebrating this free Silver City event. And folks, it is the biggest blues festival in the Southwest that is a free event. You can find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, which has the full listing of great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses and Bear Mountain Lodge, just to name a few. Let's welcome now Dan Gibson with us from Visit Tucson. Dan is filling in, thank you very much, Dan, for Matt Russell, who had to MC a very important noon hour event and was unable to be with us. And Dan is going to tell us what we should look for this weekend. Thanks, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure. This is probably the busiest weekend so far of 2015. There's an infinite, seemingly, amount of stuff going on.
Well, hit on a few of them.
All right, let's do it. So I know Matt likes to discuss the cocktail and beverage scene. Dragoon Brewery, possibly Tucson's finest brewery, is having their third anniversary. That's tomorrow, April 18th, noon to 10 p.m., 1859 West Grant. Free to get in. They've got a special flight of Belgian beers, a raffling benefiting Tunedito, food trucks, and release of their anniversary Russian Imperial Stout. Go by there, have a drink, have a good time. But there's so much more, Bill. So much more.
Hit
me. The 13th annual Fiesta Grande in Barrio Hollywood, April 18th and 19th, Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. Starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday, noon on Sunday. That's on Grande between Speedway and St. Mary's. One of Tucson's great neighborhoods. They're going to have a parade, live music, a car show, carnival, food and drink vendors, all kinds of stuff. If that weren't enough, on Saturday, Viva La Local at Rito Park, a celebration of Tucson food. That's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., $6 to get in. Kids under 12 are free, food from 30 local restaurants, the Heirloom Farmers Market, live music, beverages, all kinds of stuff, everything you could possibly want. Are you ready for more?
I can take a couple more.
There's a lot more than that. Ciclovia. I always pronounce this incorrectly, but let's go with Ciclovia. That's Sunday, April 19th. You can see me and the people from Visit Tucson right in front of Armory Park. That's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., 5 miles of car-free streets connecting downtown and South Tucson. Activities, food, there's going to be bicycle-powered lemonade, there's solar-powered cookies, I don't know, they've got all kinds of stuff. And if you go down all the way down to the south side of it, their local First Arizona is giving away limited edition south side bandana with lots of local restaurants, fun stuff on it. CicloviaTucson.org for more information. If you're downtown tonight, you could see Sunbones and Best Dog Award, two of Tucson's best bands. They're having a release party at 9 p.m. at Hotel Congress. That's free. UA Presents has Ladies Sings the Blues Saturday night at the Fox Tucson Theater at 8 p.m. Arizona International Film Festival continues all weekend at the Screening Room. The Rialto has Big Bad Voodoo Daddy tonight. Comedian Jimmy Tatro tomorrow. Reverend Horton Heat on Sunday.
And on the list goes. Dan Gibson, have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too.
Thanks, Dan Gibson. All right. We want to do a big shout out to Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Thank you, Mike, for all you do for people here in town, for all of their foreign and domestic cars. You got a great team over there. PerfectionAutoWorks.com, 1046 North Beverly. Mike's offering a 26-point free inspection for anyone who comes by and says they would like it. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of my friends, the team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. See you Monday.